Jason Tatum drops a 60-piece nugget on the Spurs. Thoughts on Tatum?
I'm surprised Pop didn't retire after that game. I know he's sitting over there like, y'all so soft. This is pathetic. Y'all let somebody give y'all a 60? We would never. And if I was when I was in San Antonio, matter of fact, on no team I was on, you would never get 60 on me, bro. I don't care who you is. Y'all couldn't do nothing to stop me from getting 60? Come on, bro. That's just terrible. I'm sorry, Pop. I'm sorry, Pop.
Welcome back to another edition of What's Burning. Jack, what's good, bro?
What's up, my boy? How you doing, man? I heard you had a successful weekend with the boys.
Yeah, man. We could talk about We got to it out there in Texas. We went out there and ate up. But, man, let's get to the show, man. Lakers and LeBron, we're going to lead off with that. Lakers are struggling, have lost 7-10. LeBron just returned, clearly not healthy. One thing he said, and we both completely understand, he doubts he'll ever be 100% again. That man's got a lot of miles on his body. But there's a lot of talk about how rusty that he looks, AD looks, this team looks headed into the playoffs. What are your thoughts?
Just it don't look like they have any rhythm. Of course, they can't have any rhythm. The two best players have been out basically, you know, for the last couple months. So it looks shaky there. And coming back from an ankle injury like he had, you know, you got to get that trust back. Even though he's LeBron James, one of the best players ever, you still have to gain that confidence back in that ankle. But they're going through a lot right now, and to me, they're spiraling. But if they need any two players to turn things around, you have them now. You just got to get them healthy.
Yeah. Well, I think one thing that's kind of interesting about this is LeBron has been that one superstar who's kind of avoided injury his whole entire career. Been very durable. Got hit with that growing injury with the Lakers, and that took a long time to heal. Obviously, this ankle sprain has taken a long time, and people just have to understand, like, he has been Superman, but he's getting old. And when you're old, shit takes a lot longer to heal and a lot longer to start really feeling better and trusting. So, you know, he left the game the other night versus the Raptors and didn't return. They have a back-to-back tonight, which he could possibly rest, which I think would be the smart move. But this kind of reminds me of what we were saying about the Clippers last year. As soon as they get healthy and get on the same page and get that chemistry, they're going to be a problem. But they never had that time. So I think the Lakers are, you know what, 7-8 games left in the season right now, in a three-way tie right now with the Mavs and Blazers for that 5, 6, and 7 seed. So it'll be interesting to see if these guys can catch their rhythm in time, or if they're still trying to find that rhythm going into the playoffs. One thing that kind of struck me too, and we talked about this off air, was LeBron. LeBron said whoever created the play-in format should be fired. And then you asked, before we were on air, do you think he would feel the same way if he wasn't in a play-in situation?
Right.
First of all, I love that LeBron is just fucking speaking now. Like, he's always been politically correct. And I'm not even talking about this situation. I'm just talking about he's been the superstar that's always had the right thing to say at the right time. And we've always moved forward with it. But of late, he's just been letting shit fly. And I kind of like this LeBron. I mean, like, speak your mind. Like, to me, you always obviously want to be prepared when you talk and you want to say the right things. But sometimes just speaking straight from the cuff is real and authentic. And we've made a living off that. What are your thoughts about him saying that whoever created the play-in format should be fired?
I mean, if that's how we feel, that's how we feel. You got to respect it. You know the old rules, respect it or check it. And, and LeBron opinion carries weight. Me personally, I said at the beginning of the season, I like it the old way. I don't like all this new stuff they add to the game. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. And he didn't expect his team to be in this position at the bottom of the Western Conference. You know, because they didn't expect to go through all this injury stuff. But it is what it is. Deal with it. Like I said, if any team needed two players to turn it around last minute, at the last seconds, you have the two players to do it.
As a fan, I really like the play-in situation because I just, you know, obviously we get to see more games. The play-in situation last year in the bubble was intriguing and exciting. But I felt when he said this from a standpoint of, because we're on the 14-year anniversary of the We Believe situation, knocking out Dallas. But I understand when you're fighting for that 6th, 7th, 8th playoff spot and you actually secure it, that shit means a lot. But now it doesn't mean as much. If you secure that 7th or 8th spot, you still know you got to play more to actually get in. So it's not, there's no real sigh of relief yet, because although there's people securely in 7 and 8 right now, they're not guaranteed to make the playoffs. So I feel where he's coming from. And like I said, my excitement for the play-in situation was as a fan, But I definitely feel where Bron is coming from as a player. Like, you work your ass off, and like you said, they would have never been in this position, obviously, if their two superstars are healthy. But now they are facing this play-in situation, and it could be frustrating for teams down there at the bottom. So like I said, again, I love when LeBron just freely speaks and speaks his mind. And it's been right all over the headways today and the newsways, and I think it's funny. But we'll have to see, man. Like we've been saying, man, a healthy Lakers team is still the favorites in the East, but can they be healthy enough? You know, AD has struggled since he's returned, and that's expected. LeBron has struggled a little bit since he's returned. That's expected. Do they have enough time to turn it around before it really matters? We'll have to see. Continuing with the week ahead, playoff push, man. It's coming down the home stretch. Things are starting to get real interesting. The Nets and Bucks had a great game yesterday. Giannis went for 40-plus. KD went for 40-plus. Bucks edged them out. But it's a real tight ship up there for 1, 2, and 3 between Philly, the Nets, and the Bucks. And the Bucks have been under the radar this year, and I think that's where they prefer to be. You know, they've won the conference. You know, they've won the division a couple times and really haven't shown out. And I think, you know, Giannis has spoken on that. But this team's playing, you know, below the radar, playing good basketball. Giannis knows what the world wants to see. They want to see him do what he does in the regular season in the playoffs. Obviously, adding Drew Holiday has been a great pickup. Middleton's been playing well. The Bucks have depth. The Nets have a lot of depth, hoping to get James Harden back soon. Jack, talk to me about this upcoming game, but how these two teams match up. I mean, they're both loaded with star power, and then also supporting cast is really good too.
Yeah, two great teams. Two teams that's going to be battling for the Eastern Conference. Obviously, you know, you can't really measure them up when guys like James Harden is not on the court. I think both teams are at the point where they're coming to the end of the season, and they want to finish the season healthy. They're not going to show all their cards, especially in games like this. They're not going to show all their cards. They're going to hold some of their cards, especially defensive coverages, for the playoffs. So it's going to be a fun game to watch, but you're going to see two totally different teams come playoff time.
I completely agree. What I like about the Bucks, because we've always been high on the Nets, you know, obviously saying if they get healthy, they're most likely going to be the favorites coming out of the East. But what I like about the Bucks, like I said, they've been flying under the radar this year, and they've had a lot of different lineups. You know, but normally they go to try to get the best record in the East and kind of stick with what they know, but they've been playing different lineups, small ball, big ball, crunch time lineups. So they've been mixing up, expecting different looks in the playoffs, and that's kind of always what's been their roadblock, is hitting these different looks in the playoffs, which obviously slows Giannis down. So, you know, definitely excited for Milwaukee. You know, they've been one of the better teams over the last handful of years, but haven't been able to get over that hump. You know, the Nets putting their big three together. My only thing with them is I think they'll find their chemistry. I just think once they get all three stars back together, they're going to have to figure out how aggressive each of them can be. You know, because they all have, you know, different games and can do different and bring different attributes to the game. Obviously, all great scorers. But, you know, who is going to be the alpha? Who is going to be okay with being the third person, you know, as far as getting shots up? So I don't know if that'll be an issue. Just on the outside looking in, it could be an issue. But, man, I love this coming down the stretch. And we can't forget about Philly. You know, Doc has those dudes playing great. Embiid is definitely an MVP candidate. Ben Simmons is getting healthy. Their supporting cast is playing well, man. So the Eastern Conference is going to be real fun come playoff time. Continuing the week ahead, we're going to take a look at the Denver Nuggets right now, who have a tough week ahead of them, starting with the Lakers, then Jazz, rounding out with the Nets on Saturday. They've won 9 out of 10 since Murray's went down, moved into the 3 seed. Jack, this team has really rallied around losing one of their best players, and normally a team will rally around a loss, but then they'll come back to earth realizing how important that player was. But this team hasn't came back to earth yet. And I think the one star outside of Joker, who is the front runner for MVP, the one guy who stepped his game all the way up, and I've been talking about this kid since he came in the league, is Michael Porter Jr. He's at 26 points a game, 57% from the field, 51% from the three-point line in the last 10 games. He's been amazing. Obviously, the addition of Aaron Gordon is going to help come playoff time. But what have you seen from this Denver Nugget team of late?
The addition of Aaron Gordon, you know, I knew it was going to be special, but it's just refreshing to see them hold it down after Murray went out. You know, you didn't know what to expect from this team. But to see them to keep it together, as you said, Jokic just talking about keeping the team together, no individual awards, no individual praise. Praise is just keep it as a team, a family. And that's how they have to keep it. That's how you have to keep your organization and your team when one of your star players go down, and guys got to fill in and step up, and they've been doing that. So I'm just happy to I want to give kudos to the coach for keeping these guys together and being able to win and not fall off when losing to such a great player like Murray.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, hats off to Coach Malone. But this is going to bode well in the future for the Nuggets. Obviously still excited to see what they can do with this season. But this opportunity has really allowed Michael Porter Jr. to step in and show that he can be a star in this league. You know, although it's only 10 games, you continue to see flashes of his greatness. But I think this is going to be something here to stay, and I think this is going to be a good test for him and Aaron Gordon in the playoffs. You know what Joker's going to give you every night. Joker's going to be one of the best players on the floor and giving you a complete all-around game. But these young, long, athletic, wiry wing players they have in Gordon and Porter are going to have to step up in the playoffs and play on both ends of the ball. So I'm excited, you know, for this team and for these young players to really see what they can do. And then, you know, hopefully Murray comes back completely healthy and they have a real solid core moving forward. Rounding out the week ahead, the struggling Los Angeles Lakers have their plate full this week, facing the Clippers, Blazers, and Suns, all pivotal games. With the way this team is playing right now, Jack, this team can very easily lose all three of these games. What are your thoughts on the week ahead, and with eight games to go, how important are these games for the Lakers?
I agree with you, bro. I mean, coming down to the end of the season, the teams they're playing are all playing well, all fighting for playoff spots. Phoenix is trying to win the West. So the Lakers, they're in trouble, man. You know, like I said, LeBron is not 100% and says he won't be. I don't even think AD's 100%. So they're going to have to really dig deep and figure out how they could try to end this season on a good note. But the teams they're playing are going to make it tough for them.
Well, you got to think every single night you're going to get the team's best shot. So although you're playing some of the top teams in the Western Conference, there are no nights off, because you can play a team that's out of the race, but you're still playing against the Lakers. You're still playing against AD and LeBron, so you're going to get their best absolute shot. You know, and with LeBron possibly resting for Monday night's game, the Lakers need to step it up. They definitely need to step it up. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what this team can do in the final eight games, what kind of chemistry they can gain, what kind of rhythm their two stars can gain. And then also, let's not forget, I mean, with your two stars being gone so long, it's given other guys like Kuzma and Harrell and some other guys getting a lot of shot attempts. So now with those shot attempts decreasing again, how do they kind of find their rhythm and their place with the stars back? So we'll keep a close eye on this to kind of see how they can bring this together. But, man, like I said, the Lakers have been our pick all season, even during the injuries, thinking, yo, like once they get back, if they're healthy, they'll be fine. But they are back, and you can tell they're not really healthy yet. So health is going to be the key for this team, and then getting their chemistry and rhythm back is next to the most important. Another question with this, out of those three teams, Clippers, Blazers, Suns, who do you think is the biggest or the toughest challenge for the Lakers?
Right now, I would have to still say Clippers, even though the Suns look like they're going to win the Western Conference. I say the Clippers, just the matchup-wise, adding Boogie Cousins, Serge Ibaka, Paul George, Kawhi, Rondo, and some of the guys they have coming off the bench. They are the team that's going to give the Lakers the most problem in the Western Conference by far.
I completely agree. Completely agree with their two stars. So this is going to be fun, man. Like I said, there's just a lot of interesting storylines leading into the playoffs. I'll tell you one thing. I know the Clippers are going to be – I mean, the Blazers are going to be a motherfucker in the playoffs. You know, yep. Utah and Phoenix are doing their thing. Clippers are going to be ready. You know, the Lakers are still trying to find their footing. Memphis is scary. You know, so it's going to be – you know, Dallas is right there in the mix. So it's going to be, man, fun. This last – couple weeks of the regular season is going to be fun leading into the playoffs. On the Radar, presented to you by DraftKings, here are some of the top MVP candidates for this season and their odds on winning that coveted MVP trophy. Joker is -670, Embiid is +450, and Chris Paul is +10,000. Quick breakdown of what these guys are looking like currently. Joker has got his team at number 3 in the West, 9-1 without Murray. Without Murray, he's averaging 28 points, 11 rebounds, and nearly 9 assists, shooting almost 57% from the field. Very impressive for the big fella, because a lot of people are talking about what would they do with Murray going out. He's definitely answered the bell on that. Embiid has his team as the number one team in the East. In the 45 games he's played this season, he's averaging 29 points, nearly 10 and a half rebounds, 85% from the free throw line, getting nearly 11 attempts a game. So he's up there in the league leaders with attempts. His health has been key. The Doc has these boys playing great. So I expect them to make a nice run to see if they can get over the hump this year. And last but not least, the friend of the program. My prediction early in the season as the team to watch, never did I think they would be number one in the West. But shout out our boy Chris Paul has his team, the number one team in the West. CP is at 16 points a game, 9 assists, 4.5 rebounds, and only 2 turnovers. And they have the best road record in the league. And, you know, come playoff time, that's very important. So, Jack, I gave you some of the top candidates. Thoughts on each one of them and where they stand.
It's a nice group there. I think, you know, the guys who get their teams to the top of the Western Conference and actually win the Western Conference, I think they got a better hand, better chance of getting the MVP. I think Chris Paul for sure deserves the MVP, considering Steve Nash won it when they were last time. They were in this position, and they haven't been in this position for a while. But I also think Devin Booker deserves a nod. And mm-hmm. I would give Devin Booker a nod before Jokic, even though Jokic deserves it. He's a great player. He's doing great. I just think for what Devin Booker and Chris Paul has both brought to the NBA, both brought to their team this year, I think it's something that deserves a reward.
No, I definitely think it's something to look at. You made a great point. Devin Booker's been playing great, but Chris Paul was that missing piece that Phoenix needed. I've been saying that Devin Booker's just been letting his career waste out there in beautiful Phoenix. But CP came and gave this team life. And you're right. You know, numbers that are similar to Nash. I think Nash may have had a little bit more assists during his MVP runs. But CP is right there. And the one thing you can never – the numbers never show is his mental toughness and what kind of competitor he is and the coach on the floor that he is. So, you know, this is three nice – and again, and we don't want to sell Embiid short. You know, Embiid's been playing great right. basketball. When he's healthy, with all due respect to Joker, I think Embiid is the best big in the game.
By far to me.
And then, I mean, shit, but we can't fight with what Joker's doing. You know what I mean? The numbers he's putting up, the way he's been able to keep his team together when his co-star has lost to a knee injury for the season. So, man, it's going to be interesting to see who ends up picking up this MVP. But there's a lot of great candidates. But definitely Chris Paul needs to be more in this conversation because he took a team that was in the gutter to the top of the toughest division in basketball, which is the Western Conference. So, shout out CP and the Phoenix Suns and all the people up for MVP nods this year. Now we're into our favorite segment of the show, fan questions. Let's get started. Ramondro01, this one is for Steven Jackson. What did Coach Pop mean when he told the team to get nasty against OKC in 2012?
Well, we were soft. I mean, you had a team full of good guys. You know, the only people that had a little nasty in them was probably me, Kawhi, and DeJuan Blair, and they weren't playing DeJuan Blair that much. You know, guys were really just soft and was backing down. And, you know, I play Matt, me and you play similarly. You know, I only play one way. And he asked the whole team to get like that. And that's what he meant by nasty. Play with some attitude. Play with some passion. Start a fight. Do something. And Pop always, he always preached like that sometimes.
But you need that. You know, some nice guys are good, but when it's time to go to war, you got to turn that nasty side on.
But Pop said every team that won the championship needs a Matt Barnes, needs a Ron Artest, needs a guy like that. Every team that wins the championship, if you look, you have a guy like Dennis Rodman. Mm-hmm. You have a guy like that on the team to keep it all together. Mm-hmm. Next fan question. Gaston, at Gaston_O. If you could play with four players that you haven't played with in today's game, who would it be and why?
That's a good question. First, I want to play with LeBron. Because he's one of the greatest players ever, one of the most selfish superstars we've ever seen. Next, I would want to play with Kyrie, because he's just a killer, self-explanatory. Next, James, another killer, self-explanatory. And last but not least, it's like a three-way tie between AD, Kawhi, and Jason Tatum. So, I'll take... Let me take Kawhi as someone I wanted to play against. I enjoyed, you know, with my time with Lob City, because we really used to go at San Antonio, getting a chance to match up against him as he was coming into his own. Now he's a two-time champion, two-time finals MVP, so I think it would be dope to get a chance to play with him. What about you?
Of course, Kyrie. I would love to play with Kyrie. I would have loved to play with KD as well. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite players. He's been hurt a lot, but I would love to play with him. I would love to play with DeMarcus Cousins.
Boogie.
And definitely be Steph Curry. I wish I wouldn't have said and got traded the year he got drafted.
You didn't believe in him.
Didn't believe in him.
That's going to be a classic. No, if you think about it, man, we've got to play with some amazing motherfucking players, man. Like, everyone you wanted to play with, I got a chance to play with. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was dope to kind of just be there and see that. So the league is in great hands, man, with a lot of great players. So that was a good question, though. I like that. Next up, _L_Gringo. What city around the league has the best food after you smoke? Or what's your go-to stone meal?
I ain't going to lie, man. I remember, Matt, when we was in the playoffs in Dallas.
Crescent Court. The motherfucking burgers.
Oh, my God. Where is that burger right now, bro?
Man.
It was a mesquite barbecue burger.
Motherfucking burger, bro. That shit was fire. And I remember, you used to always somehow, I don't know what kind of plug, you must have been fucking someone over there, or Nelly just really loved you, but you always had like the two-story suite when we stayed at that hotel. So we was always in your room, smoking it out, watching game film. Remember your aunt came through and dropped us with some, staring at the world through my rear view from Pac Man.
Tupac game.
Man. Yeah, but hey, them Crescent Court, what was the burger called?
It was called the Mesquite Burger. It was like a mesquite barbecue burger.
That shit was fire.
My goodness, bro. We both agreed with that one, so that's how it was good.
As soon as you started talking about it, you said Crescent Court, I said, this motherfucker's talking about that burger. Shout out to Crescent Court in Dallas, man. That burger was amazing.
Yes, sir. Classic. Next fan question. Don't Check Me 93. What is one of your favorite moments you've experienced with your mom? Ooh. Shout out to mothers for Mother's Day on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Definitely happy Mother's Day to all the mothers coming up. Experience with my mom, I to be honest with you, I think it's the We Believe time, because, you know, we all have a crazy story leading up to how we got to that We Believe team. But my story was, I was on the verge of being out the fucking league. You know, I was about to go try to play football. And, you know, the story's been told, you know, how BD hit me up. I went up there and played and ended up playing well in a pickup game to making that Warrior team. But I think my best experience with my mom was she finally got to see me play and succeed and have fun and got a chance to meet that team and all the moms and the friendship she made, you know, before her untimely passing the following year. So I would definitely say my funnest experience was, you know, having my mom get a chance to see that team, knowing that she died the year after.
Well, I have to agree with Matt. I think my best experience with basketball was the We Believe years, because my mom, she not only felt like my mom, but she felt a part of the organization. She felt a part of another family. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't go to state like all our moms were friends. And those times are the times, and when we talk about basketball, she only talks about those times in Golden State. She was in San Antonio when I won the championship. But those times in Golden State, she held mm-hmm. dear, you know, with relationships with your mom and Al's mom. But mm-hmm. Also for me, I think from building my mom a house, that was a great experience for me and her, because when I built the house, I promised that I was going to build her and my grandmother a house, and I was able to do that. And to see her face knowing that I was doing that, that meant a lot to her. So those two moments, Golden State and building the house, I mean, that's the best moments I could ever think of.
No, that's dope, because that was that's what all of our goal is once we get into a position too, is to take care of our mom. And I finally, that season, got into a position where I started making some money that next season. She died at the beginning of that next season. I think another thing too that I really shared with my mom that was special was she didn't smoke, but every Mother's Day she would smoke with me. So I thought that was dope. So she would always hit the joint by the end of the day and probably having her passed out early before the night ends. So that was always a little ritual and a tradition that we have. So rest in peace to moms. But those are some great times, man. Definitely. It's coming up. Jack, it's coming up on this year's going to be 14 years.
14 years, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Crazy, man. The twins will be 13 in November. The twins came almost a year after my mom died. It's crazy. Next question. Past 23X, have you ever played a street pickup game and faced a player you thought could play as a pro? Keep it up. Salute from Greece. Shout out, Greece. Yeah, I definitely probably say some dudes in the men's gym that you run across that, you know, end up playing overseas or something like that, that could definitely, you know, get a chance. But it's different. I think everyone thinks that the NBA is so simple, and it feels so simple, everyone would be in it. But what people don't understand is the last player on that bench will go into a normal pickup game and bust everybody's ass. You know what I mean? Like, it's very competitive. Even if you don't get consistent minutes, you can obviously play, because you got to think 450 guys in the whole world wants to be in the NBA. So salute to all the players in the NBA. There's definitely guys out there that we've ran across that could do it. But, man, it's a lot more than talent that goes into actually making the league.
Yeah, shout out to Greece again, man. You're going to see a lot of guys coming up that should have made it but just didn't get the opportunities that we get. They're more talented. They work out. They play just as good as we do, you know, but they make some bad decisions or things just don't go their way. I've seen the millions of guys that I said belong in the NBA. But, you know, what God has for you is for you, and can't nobody stop it. And, you know, he got different strokes with different folks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's such a thin line between, you know, we both have friends and family that you know, kept us on that right path, because we could have definitely been a statistic for the wrong side. You know, we both got a chance to play 14 years and make money and have successful post careers, but, you know, it could have been one wrong turn this way or one wrong turn that way that we could have been a statistic on the other side. So it definitely, like I said, it's always more than talent that defines whether or not you're going to make it in the NBA. Haywood_era25. Would Jack ever get in the ring with someone for celebrity boxing? Would you?
No.
Wouldn't?
No.
Plain and simple.
Because I'm not a boxer.
Yeah.
I'm not thirsty for money. I'm not holding on by a lifeline. So I'm not finna go out there and act like I'm a boxer and embarrass myself for the world. No, boxer. I know I've been a fighter all my life, Matt. I've had many fights in my life. I know the difference between fighting and boxing. I know it's a big difference. And if you've never been in the boxing ring, you never felt them gloves, you haven't been sparring your whole life, you're gonna go in there and get yourself embarrassed. As you see, you can be a UFC fighter, but if you don't know how to box, you're gonna go in there and get your block knocked off. So no, I won't. And then again, I don't have the calmness to be a boxer. You knock me out, the fight is never gonna be over. I'm gonna wait at your car, I'm gonna be at your hotel, I'm gonna put a hit on you. Something gonna happen. So no, I would never do that.
Hey, I think you made up a great point, though, because me too, I mean, obviously been fighting my whole life, but once I started boxing, it felt like I was starting all over. Like, boxing is so much different than fighting. It's crazy. So just because you think you can fight or you might have some nice hands, that shit doesn't necessarily trans over into the boxing ring. And like we've seen, it's kind of a, I guess there's a wave now of, you know, people wanting to box and celebrity boxing. We got the Logan Paul, Floyd Mayweather fight coming up. Shout out Showtime Boxing. We will be in Miami for that. Steve Espinoza, I hope you see this episode and realize.
Oh, we will be there.
We need to be ringside. We could work if you need us to work. We could chill and be fly and high if you need us to do that. But one way or another, we will be front row at that fight.
In the building.
What are your thoughts on that? You know, obviously Floyd has done some charity fights where he knocked out the Asian cat from overseas. You know, obviously Floyd, one of the greatest fighters, if not the greatest fighter of all time, stepping in the ring with one of these Paul brothers who are really taking this celebrity boxing by storm. A lot of people want to hate on them. These boys keep knocking motherfuckers out, and they're getting paid to do it. So thoughts on this upcoming fight with Mayweather and Logan Paul that Showtime is putting on?
Yeah, it's entertainment. Obviously, I want to see more real boxing fights during the year, not every 6 months a fight. You know, I want to see the real boxers fight. But I'm excited because Floyd's an entertainer. And this guy's bigger than Floyd. Floyd made sure it's an exhibition match, so it won't go on his record. But it's about the payday. And you know Floyd's going to get a big payday. He don't do anything where he don't make a payday. So anytime, how could you go against somebody getting a check? And that's what Floyd doing. I'm going to go out here, I'm going to fight this dude bigger than me, and I'm going to embarrass him and get a check. So win-win for Floyd.
Mm-hmm. No, I think it's great. You know, the celebrity boxing people asked me if I wanted to box LO. And I was just like, no, man, I can't box my brother. I can't box someone I fuck with. So
right.
would I ever do a charity boxing match? I mean, if I was consistently still working out, doing boxing, and I had some time to really, really put to it, I wouldn't be against it, but it's not, again, it's not something I'm looking forward to or really want to do. So I agree, because like I said, if I happen to get knocked down in front of the world and they're going to be making fun of me, the fight will never be over, ever.
Thank you. Thank you.
Ever. Go ahead.
Next fan question. At CPS Sarich, was the We Believe team the most fun you've had in the NBA?
Hands down. I think it was, because it was so much more than boxing. So much more than basketball. And today is the 14-year anniversary of Game 6.
The boys.
That we knocked them out. You remember we did later this night 14 years ago where we ended up,
man,
at the end of the night?
Man, do I.
Blowing
in
down
cloud, the force. On Cloud 27.
Blowing down the four seasons with Snoop at the end of this night 14 years ago. But yeah, man, that We Believe team was special. You know, like we all were brothers to this day still. You know, our moms had a friendship. You know, to think that this team is still talked about this much, and all we did was win a first round series. We didn't even win the second round. But we could look back and on that. You know, someone said something interesting today that I saw. I didn't know we swept Utah during the regular season that year. And then they had some help with the refs to get us out in the second round. But
I didn't know that, Matt. I got to go back and do some investigating.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know. Yeah, we swept the season series with the Jazz that year, and then they beat us in the second round. But, yeah, man, that We Believe team was special. On the anniversary of Game 6 today, I think that's dope. I'm definitely going to have to smoke one for the cause. What about for you?
Smoking is nothing new. I'm going to do that anyway. But one thing about it, my years there, dog, I hold dear to me because, like you said, it wasn't just about basketball. You know, I grew lifelong relationships with people I call my brothers today, and we made history doing that. You know what I mean? And so it just means a lot, you know, to still have the relationship, you know, with my brothers from that time. That's what means the most to me.
Absolutely. Special time. Coming up this Thursday, May 7th, we have ESPN's own, our sister, Rachel Nichols, on All the Smoke. Enjoy the teaser.
Thoughts on how the league and Adam Silver has handled last year's past events?
I don't think you can argue, like, it's been an overall, like, huge success, mm-hmm. right? The fact that they got a league playing and they were able to navigate through a global pandemic and keep everyone safe, and nobody has had, you know, knock on every surface near me because we're not out of this yet.
Right.
But no one has had serious health problems while you are trying to move people around the country in groups on a contact sport where everyone sweats all over each other. That is no easy thing. Have there been little things along the way that they may have wanted to do better? You know, now that hindsight's 20/20, they would tell you that,
right.
You know? Mm-hmm. So sure. But, you know, it's kind of like I say, like, no one's perfect.
Right.
And people, you just got to do the best that you can. And I think they've made really good choices a lot of the time.
I agree.
Thoughts on the play-in format? Because I absolutely love it.
I love it, too. I know a lot of people don't, but yeah. I think it's awesome. It was really fun in the bubble.
Right.
And it just gives everybody a little bit more skin in the game, but in a way that doesn't feel like it's going to mess with the integrity of who wins. Like, I don't think it's going to make it. The play-in tournament is going to have no effect on who wins the NBA title. Mm-hmm. I don't think whoever makes it into the playoff game is going to win. We've never had an 8 seed win a title before. We came close a little bit with Patrick Ewing, but never. Didn't happen. And I certainly don't think a play-in team is my guess. I mean, who knows? Someone's now going to do it, and they're going to show this clip. And I'm looking in the camera.
I doubted you,
who I don't even know, and I don't even know what team this is. But clearly I doubted you, and you can use that as motivation.
I mean, if the Lakers slide, you know, with AD and Braun, if they happen to slide, like, to me, if they slide and get into a play-in situation, as long as they're healthy, I still think they're the best team in the Western, you know, outside of them.
Yes.
I agree.
No, I think that's true. But that's a case of the play-in. I just don't think the plan is going to have a team that doesn't deserve
win. Not.
I guess that's what I should say. Because, like, in a single elimination thing, in that first game or two of the actual play-in tournament, anyone can win. But that team then has to go into the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
right? Then you have to go into seven-game series. Mm-hmm. So I just don't think you're going to get some outlier team that shouldn't be there win. So I should – that's a good point. I should have – see, I messed up. I should –
Mm-hmm.
Put that in there.
I got you.
You got me. See, you got me.
You, yeah.
But yeah, I just think that it's only fun. How do you feel about it, Jack?
I just feel like it's an interesting twist. Mm-hmm. You know, I like the old school way. You got to earn your way in. I don't like all this other shit. You know, top eight, everybody else go home, get on that boat early. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. And, you know, everybody else that earned it, get in there.
See, I like it because I think it starts the energy for the playoffs a little bit sooner, and it's a cool format. You know, 7 plays 8, or yeah, seven plays eight and mm-hmm. seven. The winner gets seven.
Seven.
And then eight plays the winner of nine ten.
The loser of the 7-8 battle plays the winner of 9-10, and that's who's the eighth seed.
Yeah. So to me, I just think it's great energy. I just think it gives the playoffs a jump start. And like you said, something different. I mean, I get tradition, but like we said, I mean, we're in just a different time now. So why not try something different? I think something that they did that worked well in the bubble.
Yeah.
They're continuing.
If I'm an eighth seed, I ain't finna fight for the eighth seed.
Well, it depends on who you are, too,
that's
right?
What Draymond said.
Like Draymond said that the other day, right?
I'm already here. What I got to play for? Yeah.
And by the way, the Raptors, right, this year, it depends on who you are.
We've been sorry all year, Rachel, to land in this eighth spot. We don't deserve it.
Look, the Raptors this year at the trade deadline, this is a team that is 2 years removed from winning a title. Playing in a state they don't even live in.
True.
Like, not even in front of their fans, all this stuff. And they basically decided, you know what? We're going to try to keep our core, but we're not going to, like, go all out to win a playing game. We don't have to. Our fans don't expect that. They're not going to be happy with a we won a playing game. Yeah, we won a title 2 years ago. So for teams like that, for teams like the Warriors, I get Draymond being like, straight I'm up. Not excited. But you know what? We had De'Aaron Fox on the show the other day. He'd like to play playing game. Yeah. You know, and mm-hmm. I get that too. That's a good experience for him.
But even if you wouldn't be excited, even though Draymond's not excited, know when the ball goes up for you and the ball goes up for him, that you guys are going to play your asses off.
Yeah, true.
We're winding down, moving ahead to quick hitters. The DeMarcus Cousins and Rajon Rondo impact on the Clippers. Nearly pulled off a comeback against the Nuggets Saturday night. Both played really well. Rondo had 18, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals in 30 minutes. Boogie had 16 points in 14 minutes. Jack, can these two be difference makers come playoff time for the Clippers?
It ain't no question about it. They're already making a difference. And this is the toughness that the team need. These are the two guys that's going to do all the talking, all the pushing, all the stuff that's going to keep Kawhi and Paul George focused on the game. This was the biggest moves of the season so far with adding them two to an already great Clipper team. I think Ty Lue is licking his chops right now. He can't wait to get in his playoffs and let these goons loose.
The Clippers are scary, and I don't want to gas them too much because I gassed them last year and it cost me a bunch of push-ups. But
there wasn't this team, Matt.
It's a much different team. But like I said, similar to what I said about Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference, the Clippers have been floating under the radar all season. You know, Kawhi's dealing with a little bit of foot soreness, but I'm sure he's going to be a go come playoff time. They're going to be a tough out. And don't be surprised if you see them representing the Western Conference in the finals. Ty Lue has these dudes playing well on the same page. Like you said, got two guys that'll do all the dirty work, plus put solid numbers up. Looking to get Serge Ibaka back soon. This Clipper team is built for the playoffs, so we're going to have to see now. I mean, there's been such a curse on that Clipper name since Donald Sterling took over the team under new ownership now. Maybe the curse will end, but this Clipper team is playing good basketball, heading in the right direction, getting everybody healthy at the right time, and should be fun to watch during the playoffs. LaMelo Ball made his return after a wrist injury had him sidelined for a handful of weeks. They are 1-1 since his return. Charlotte currently sits in the 8th seed, which is in a play-in situation. That East at 5, the Hawks, 6 is the Heat, 7 are the Celtics, 8 are the Hornets, 9 are the Pacers, 10 are the Wizards. Jack, will the Hornets lock up a playoff spot and be playing in the real playoffs?
It's going to be hard to see. It's good to see LaMelo back, though. You know, he's the engine to that car. It's good to see him back and on that team. But like I said, if they have a chance, having him back gives them a better chance. You know what I
absolutely.
Mean? Because without him on the lineup, you know, it's kind of fishy. The leader's not there. But with this kid back, I think just coming back, starting off 1-1, him getting his feel back for the game, he could possibly take this team to the playoffs. Cool.
The energy, excitement, outside of the numbers he's putting up, is what he really this team was lacking in his absence. You can clearly see that. So I'm excited to get these guys back on track. I definitely think they can make the playoffs. If the playoffs started today, they'd play the Celtics in the play-in situation. I would probably take the Celtics right there to lock up that 7th seed. But then, you know, between Pacers and Wizards, to me, the Hornets could beat either one of those teams and lock up the 8th seed. So I hope they do. I think it'll be great for the city of Charlotte. I think it'll be great for that team. Like I said, their excitement. I love the way they play. They're all on the same page. Doesn't seem like there's any egos out there. Obviously, they need Gordon Hayward completely healthy to make that happen. But, you know, definitely looking forward to see what these boys can do. Next up, Julius Randle has continued his excellent play this season. The Knicks have won 11 out of 12 games, man. I think that's amazing. Randle is averaging, during this stretch, 29 points, nearly 9 rebounds, nearly 6 assists a game, and has his team solidly sitting in a playoff position in the East. Thoughts on Randle and what he's been able to do to help the Knicks regain some of their former glory?
No thoughts at all, but he's playing well. I don't think about the Knicks at all. I haven't thought about the Knicks since Melo left. But I have to give Randle his props. One thing about me, and I will say this, I was high on Randle when he was with the Lakers. I just knew that they weren't going to get the best out of him. The size he had, the agility, and what he can do as a lefty, I knew he was going to be good in this league. I just knew it was a matter of time. I didn't know he was going to be an all-star, but what he's doing right now, I got to give him his props. Keep carrying that team, young fella. And I don't think you know what you're doing for the city of New York, but you're doing something big for the city of New York, bro. So keep going.
Absolutely. He's a he's a god out there. Definitely probably, I mean, playing well enough to be first-team All-NBA. Most likely he'll probably be second team, but this dude has had a great season, first-time All-Star, and got the Knicks sitting nice in the middle of that Eastern Conference. So salute to you, my brother. Definitely need to get you on the show. We had to cancel last week because it was too last minute, but we definitely need to catch up with bro on the show too. Next up, Jason Tatum drops a 60-piece nugget on the Spurs, and what makes it more impressive was the Spurs were up 32 points in this game, so every shot he hit was needed and important, becoming or actually tying the single-season Celtics record for most points in the game with the one and only Larry the Legend, Bird. Thoughts on Tatum and his development and continued growth in his game?
I'm surprised Pop didn't retire after that game. I know he's sitting over there like, y'all so soft. This is pathetic. Y'all let somebody give y'all 60. We would never, and if I was when I was in San Antonio, matter of fact, on no team I was on, you would never get 60 on me, bro. I don't care who you is. Come on, bro. Nah, let's talk about San Antonio. Y'all sorry, bro. Y'all let this man get y'all 60. I don't care how cold Tatum is. He is cold. But I'm just saying, bro, y'all couldn't do nothing to stop him from getting 60? Come on, bro. That's just terrible.
Buckets.
I'm sorry, Pop.
Now, I'm a big, Jason Tatum fan. I think he just had a birthday, too. 23, if I'm not mistaken. He's one of the bright young stars of this game. Will be one of the faces that carry this league forward. Just crazy to see. I didn't get a chance to catch the whole game. I caught the end. But like I said, anytime someone drops 60 in an NBA game, that's a beautiful thing to see, man. So shout out Jason Tatum. And hopefully he can get his boys back rolling the right direction come playoff time. Closing thoughts. Jack, we got a big week coming up. Headed out to Memphis for the Iverson Classic. All the top high school players in the country will be in attendance. What are you looking forward to most about this upcoming week for us?
Man, I love this time of the year, man. I get to be around the future stars coming up, get to give them all the game and all the lessons we learned so they won't have to make none of the mistakes that we made. And also just to be around, basketball again, be around fans and all this type of stuff again is just a good feeling for me to try to get back to normal. But being a part of the Allen Iverson Classic, which is becoming one of the biggest high school classics in the country, the only one that's going on this year, it's special to be on our third year, and special to be coaching again, especially be coaching on the side of you. So a lot of things we're doing, having the first girl, being involved with the Civil Rights Museum, we're making a lot of history with this event, and I'm just so humbled to be involved, having Showtime involved this year again too. So it's awesome.
Definitely. Shout out our brother Allen Iverson for providing this platform. Everything you said. I mean, like I said, being able to mentor these younger kids and seeing tomorrow's stars, I think it's going to be dope. Having a female play in the game, I think it's going to be special, breaking down walls. So definitely excited to head back to Memphis, get some good food, some good smoke, and man, enjoy the game. Next up, as you all know, May is Mental Health Awareness of Month. We've had a lot of people, Jack, kind of step outside their comfort zone on our show, which I thought was a beautiful thing, and speak on how important mental health awareness is. Like I said, it used to be something that was not talked about, very quiet, but you thank people like Kevin Love and DeMar DeRozan, Paul George, and many more who've come out and kind of broke the stigma of, you know, this is not something we speak on, to actually having a topic of conversation, it's obviously more than just a month, but I think it's a great start to, like I said, have these conversations, because these conversations can save lives.
Yeah, man, it's very important. You know, I think as athletes, it's important that we can continue to talk about these type of things, because people think just because we make a lot of money,
right,
and that we're on TV and we have all these nice things, that we're not human and we don't go through ups and downs. Well, I can tell you what, I smoke so I won't go crazy mentally. And I've been smoking my whole life just so I won't go crazy mentally. Because you deal with a lot of things. You deal with people that you have trust in, and they end up, you know, burning your trust. And those type of things can hurt you when you're doing everything from the heart and doing everything, you know, genuinely. Those type of things from family and friends can really tear you off and really take away your focus from the game and things like that. So it's good for athletes to come out and to be honest with themselves and to speak out on things like this, because not only is it helping the people that's listening, but it's also helping the athlete to be able to get it out.
No, absolutely. Like I said, it's a very important conversation. Again, hats off to everyone who's courageous enough to speak about it. Continuing to moving these conversations forward, man, is what's needed. And like I said, at the end of the day, we're opening doors to hopefully save some lives. Before we do our closing, I want to do a special shout out to Gianna Bryant. May 1st, this past Saturday, was her 15th birthday. And yep. Thank you, Vanessa, for sending me this Mambacita sweatsuit that I think
I'm jealous.
Out. Yeah, but I'm going to hit V and see if we can get you one. But sweatsuit sold out for within hours. Continuing to push her memory and her legacy. Man, just a tough time. You know, obviously we lost our brother Cole, but, you know, to lose Gigi and the rest of the little girls and the other parents on that flight was something horrific. But, you know, definitely hats off to Vanessa for keeping Gigi's legacy alive. The beautiful young woman would have been 15 on Saturday. So, again, happy heavenly birthday, and we definitely miss you guys.
Yes, sir. Happy birthday.
Big news coming next week, Jack. The 2020 Hall of Fame class will be inducted next week. Obviously, because of the pandemic, it was postponed. But we got our brothers KG, rest in peace, Kobe, and Tim Duncan, along with many others being inducted. Thoughts on this class? Some people are saying this is the greatest Hall of Fame class in the history.
Yeah, it could be. All our brothers, all deserving. Wish Kobe was here to hear his speech. But at the end of the day, my brother's going to get honored. Hopefully Vanessa and the kids will get some joy out of this as well. And but Tim Duncan and KG, two guys, two of the best to ever play the game. Tim Duncan, you know how I feel about him, and you know how I feel about KG. So it's going to be a beautiful day for basketball, and I'm happy for all my brothers.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations to all the 2020 Hall of Fame nominees, but definitely shout out to our fam, man. What's Burning is available every Monday on Showtime Basketball YouTube.
And you can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at Show Basketball.
Before we go, make sure you catch the new Barnes Boys episode coming to you this week. You can find them at their Instagram at The Barnes Boys Podcast, as well on YouTube. We'll see y'all next week.